President Donald Trump was found guilty of 34 convictions, and his sentencing will be on July 11th. This is the date of 7/11. Today we talk about the occult symbolism behind Donald Trump. July 11th as 77, Pepe the Frog, Keck, Steve Bannon, and how all these things will fulfill Aleister Crowley's prophecy of chaos in creating a new world. You're listening to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. We're going to go through some of the symbolism behind Donald Trump and the sentencing of 7/11. How that ties into 77. We're going to do a little revisit of past discussions we've had about the occult symbolism of Pepe the Frog, Steve Bannon, and how all those things play together into manifesting what's happening in reality, and how this will arguably change our world. We'll see. Couple pieces of housekeeping. First, the Diddy episode. I know some of you signed up and you said, I'm on that supporter feed. Isaac, you said you're dropping a 3-hour Diddy super duper show. I am. You might get it next week though. there's been some, I had some issues with the video. I'm going to get it fixed up. Anyway, long story short, enjoy the Donald Trump show for now. And Diddy's coming here soon. So hopefully nothing crazy happens with Diddy between now and then. Because then I'm going to have to add a clarification in the caption or something. Then, if you paid attention, there is a coupon code. You can get into the VIP section, one of my 3 supporter feeds. All right? I released a whole ordeal about this on the free feed. Basically, for the month of June, you can use coupon code BADBOY, all one word, all lowers, to get into the VIP section, tier 1 or tier 2, month to month, for 80% off. That means $1 for tier 1 or $2 for tier 2. It's good for 1 month only, and then it goes back up to normal price, which is $5 and $10, respectively. And the whole purpose of this is, I want you to try the VIP section, because I know, once you're tuned in, you're going to love it. You're going to enjoy the ad-free experience. You're going to love all the bonus content. You're going to love the Diddy 3-hour deep dive. You're going to love catching up on the Twin Peaks Grey Lodge. And you're going to get books and all kinds of things. I've got details. If you go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, up top, you'll see a menu option for VIP, or you'll see 3 horizontal lines if you're on your cell phone, and click that, go to VIP, and I've got details on how to sign up with the coupon code BADBOY, all one word, all lowers. And it's limited to 100 people. I already got a ton of signups, so you better hurry up, okay? All right. Now, what happened here? If you've been living under a rock, Donald Trump was found guilty of 34 felonies. And we actually talked about this last year. Daily Mail, because look, I'm no lawyer. I don't know the details of what's really going on here. Daily Mail, of all places, explained the charges. Because you think 34 charges, like, didn't he just pay off a porn star some hush money? Anyway, I'm confused about it too. I'm going to read to you from the Daily Mail. It says, the charges are related to a $30,000 payoff to a doorman trying to sell information about a child that Trump allegedly fathered out of wedlock. I don't know if that's included in the 34, but that's what they said last year. So, you know, this is from April 23, but I think most of this holds up still. So I think these are all part of the 34 convictions. Also, $150,000 to former Playboy model Karen McDougal, and a $130,000 payment to Stormy Daniels. That's the porn star. It's not just about one payment, District Attorney Alvin Bragg said at a press conference. It is 34 business records, 34 false statements and business records. They were concealing criminal conduct. There was no formal conspiracy charge, but the state of facts released by prosecutors describes how Trump orchestrated a scheme with others to influence the 2016 presidential election by identifying and purchasing negative information about him to suppress its publication and benefit the defendant's electoral prospects. During the hearing, Assistant DA Christopher Conroy argued the payments were part of an unlawful plan to identify and suppress negative information that could have undermined Trump's presidential campaign. The illegal part was that he repaid Michael Cohen when he was president and expensed it falsely as legal expenses. So I guess that's it, right? And Michael Cohen already did prison time for this, so it wasn't looking good right off the bat for Donald Trump. Now, and this would be, I guess, for me to try to understand how this would work, it would be as if I, took a vacation to Hawaii and then said, a $20,000 trip to Hawaii, or $150,000, I guess, if you want to do apples to apples, and this lavish trip, and said, well, I don't know if that's even accurate. What do I know? Falsifying business records is a real thing, though, right? Like, you can't just say, hey, I did a work trip to Hawaii for 4 months without actually doing work. I don't know. I'm trying to make sense of it myself. Now, and we're not going to go into my opinion about any of this, okay? I know some of yous want it, some of yous don't. I just, I want peace in my world. That's all I want. But you recall, we talked about Trump many times. Because to understand the symbolism and the impact of what the main argument presented today, we have to go back to where this all started. The 2016 presidential election campaign, where we saw contagion magic at work. If you recall, Pepe the Frog, Keck, these memes were a big topic back then. I mean, this is 8 years ago now. Users on 4chan focused their wills to get Trump in, because these were people who were, I don't know, trolling or what. I don't understand the culture of 4chan, but from what I understand, it's people want to see the world burn because they live online, I guess. I don't know. And they liked the idea that Trump was politically incorrect and says wild stuff. And they're like, this is the kind of guy we like, because he is, different. Which I get, it makes sense. Well, in the forums on 4chan, they started trading this Pepe the Frog sigil when referring to Donald Trump. Later on, we find out that there was an Egyptian frog deity named Keck, which was very interesting, because this Pepe the Frog meme used to say Keck as a play on LOL. He said Keck, so they didn't even realize it, but they were sort of manifesting this ancient frog deity. Well, wouldn't you know it, Keck turned out to be a god of chaos. And what did they constantly call Trump? They called him the chaos candidate. That's the reason why the system, it seems, has a thing for him, is he's unpredictable. And there's too much chaos with him, apparently. Well, this is where we're headed with the argument, because we all know that the motto of the 33rd degree of Freemasonry is Ordo Ab Chao, order out of chaos. So if they could instill enough chaos into our world, we would be begging for the order, and here comes the order. It's the New World Order. Now, to add some more interesting elements to this, there's a thing called chaos magic, and the symbol for the chaos magic is an 8-pointed star. They call it like 8 arrows. And you'll see this on a Russian Eurasian party flag, which was a political group established by Alexander Dugin. This is a Russian philosopher who is very, they call him Putin's right-hand man. Some people call him Putin's brain. He's friends with Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon was in charge of Trump's 2016 campaign, the campaign he won through the chaos magic of Pepe the Frog, or Keck, the Egyptian frog god of chaos magic. I mean, it's kind of wild. And Dugin was in the news a bunch recently. He was interviewed by Tucker Carlson. And, and I watched that in the 10 minutes I saw. You wouldn't think nothing nefarious is there. But if you understand the philosophy of traditionalism, you'll see that there is major desires to change our world because they think modernity is evil and that we need to go back to this authoritarian patriarchal society. That's what they want. But to stick with Pepe the Frog and the occult, I did an article about this forever ago, and let me add some more clarification to some of these things. So Kek was a gamer term that came from the World of Warcraft. And again, it was supposed to be LOL, but different, right? So Pepe the Frog would laugh and say Kek, I guess. And then, like I said before, they found out later that the Egyptian frog god named Kek was the god of primordial darkness or chaos. Now, Pepe was worshipped by these nerds on the Chans, 4chan, 8chan, whatever, for his ability to influence reality. Because users, and this is where it gets into 4chan forum culture, that I don't really understand. But when they would make a post, each post would be assigned a certain number. And they found value in posting Pepe the Frog with particular combinations called dubs or trips. When a number would repeat itself, they found some kind of synchronistic value, which is another theme of this whole show, is the idea of synchromysticism and the hermetic axiom of alchemy, as above, so below. It's the idea that ritualistically we can manifest things through thought. This is what magic is. Now, Pepe the Frog would be listed as the top most influential fictional character by Time magazine in 2016. So this wasn't just some obscure reference. This was a lot of forces trying to make sure we understood what Pepe the Frog was, focusing our intention of the wills, which is why we're talking about Donald Trump, because it's like the Super Bowl. If it's a topic that everyone's talking about and everyone's focused on. And the Chan nerds, they loved Pepe the Frog to try to manifest reality and focus their energies, because they actually tried to manifest an event where Hillary Clinton would fall in public. And it actually happened. It happened on 9/11, which we'll talk about 11 later on. But it happened on 9/11. If you recall, before the election, people were like, hey, something's wrong with her. She's sick in the head, whatever. And this is actually something that Aleister Crowley did to convince William Seabrook that he was able to manifest reality, because William Seabrook was the author of, he was the guy that created the zombie tale in the zombie genre. And him and Crowley were walking down the sidewalk one day. Seabrook questioned if Crowley really was able to have magical powers. And Crowley said, well, watch this. And through contagion or sympathetic magic, Crowley started limping, implying that the guy in front of them, who didn't see any of this happening, would start limping contagionally, and sure enough, it happened. At least that's what the story is. Then there's a lot of weird frog stuff. Like in 1986, there was an album called Chatelet, and the band's name was Pepe, and it had a frog with a magic wand on its cover, as well as a spiral, which is the symbol for chaos or the evolution of man. Did the 4chan people know any of this? I don't know. In 2010, there was a band named Las Pepas, and they had a song called The Frog Pepe in 2010. Then, of course, we had the election, which was, in fact, very chaotic both times, it turns out. So I guess why not do it a third time? I guess that's what we're doing as a country. Because you remember after the election, when Donald Trump got in, Richard Spencer got punched in the head on live TV, and he was wearing a pin of Pepe the Frog, the chaos deity. Also, you remember when Donald Trump tweeted Covfefe? Remember this? If you Google the numbers 272326, you'll find that it takes you. That's the what was that? Oh, I don't even remember what that was for now. That ties into Covfefe. I'd have to look it up. I don't want to slow down though. Anyways, that number, for whatever reason, I don't know. It's not gematria. 2723. That's four. That's eight letters. No, that's seven letters and eight numbers. It must have been something to do with like the tweet it was on or something. Anyways, if you Google those numbers, it takes you to a green toad for a Google image search. And oh, here I have in my notes. The numbers are the periodic table of elements for the atomic numbers of cobalt, vanadium, iron, which would be covfefe. C-O-V-E-F-E-F-E. Okay. Now, all of this matters because we talk about synchromysticism on the show all the time. James Shelby Downer talks about it. Carl Jung. I mean, all these things are connected together. Richard Dawkins said, biology is driven by genes, but culture is driven by memes. Okay. So these Pepe the Frog chaos memes arguably manifested into reality. And we've all been living under that since then. And recall how in from 2016 to 2020, there were all these witches doing hexes against Donald Trump to get him out of office, or I think they even get him arrested, if I recall. Which takes us up to the convictions and sentencing of Donald Trump. So he was found guilty of 34 felonies, and he's being sentenced on July 11th. Well, 7-11 is quite the number, all right? 7 is the number of divinity, and 11 is the number of magic. So 7 times 11 is 77, which is an interesting number, because in the world of Aleister Crowley, that's the name of his book, Liber Oz. It's not a book, it's more of a manifesto, a one-page manifesto about this new world, this Aeon of Horus he's trying to usher in. And, you know, Liber Oz connects you into the theories of Wizard of Oz and the occult of Theosophy. I did 3 episodes on Wizard of Oz. See more for a deep dive on that. It takes us into the world of rainbows and MKUltra, dissociative identity disorder. It's a wild tale. That's why it took me 3 episodes to go through the Wizard of Oz. I'll put links in the show notes because I'm actually going to reference several shows that will give you a lot more insight into all this stuff. But 77 also shows up in Crowley's world as the seal for the Whore of Babylon. She represents the female sexual impulses of the liberated woman, as well as the Mother Earth. And she has an earthly avatar of the Scarlet Woman that the whole point of the Scarlet Woman or the Whore of Babylon is to usher in the apocalypse, the end times, the revealing to create a new world. And Aleister Crowley believed in a Scarlet Woman to manifest the energies of his new age, of the Aeon of Horus. Why does he choose 7? Well, let's go to Albert Mackey's Freemason Dictionary. It says, the number 7 among all nations has been considered as a sacred number, and in every system of antiquity, we find a frequent reference to it. The Pythagoreans called it a venerable number because it referred to the creation, and because it was made up of the two perfect figures, the triangle and the square. Among the Hebrews, the etymology of the word shows its sacred import. For, from the word, 7 is derived the verb shebang, which makes me think of, what was that song? Was it Psy? Shebang. Anyway, derived the verb shebang to swear because oaths were confirmed either by 7 witnesses or by 7 victims offered in sacrifice, as we read in the covenant of Abraham and Abimelech. So it ties into divinity, it ties into Pythagoras, which was the original secret society OG. But we also have the number 11 to look at, right? 7-11. And if you read, I think it's called The World's Most Dangerous Book about 9/11. A great book. I recommend it. They reference William Westcott, who said, this seems to have been the type of a number with an evil reputation among all peoples. The Kabbalists contrasted it with the perfection of the Decad. And just as the Sephirotic number is the form of all good things, so 11 is the essence of all that is sinful, harmful, and imperfect. Because on the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, there's 10 Sephirot from God. God is perfect, and God, through emanation of thought, created 10 perfect spheres. But then there's this 11, That's the Dayoth. That's the hidden sphere. And in Crowley's Night of Pan ritual, one approaches Caron's own through Dayoth to destroy the ego and become a master of the temple. Now, 11 could also be the Twin Towers, right? That's why we talked about on the 9/11 shows that we did a couple years ago. The 11 represents the Pillars of Hermes or Boaz and Joaquin. This is the boundary of the realm between worlds, between our world and the next. Again, the idea of closing off this reality and entering a new one, which we'll talk about here in a second with Steve Bannon and the Kali Yuga. And finally, Aleister Crowley himself said the number 11 is the number of magic itself, therefore suitable to all types of operations. All types of operations, as well as the sacred number par excellence of the new aeon, the aeon of Horus. He's talking about the new age he insisted that he would bring about. In that Liber Oz, it talks about, it says, every man and every woman is a star. It's about man becoming God. That's the new age. It's a Luciferian self-serving age. So let's put it all together here. What are we talking about? We're talking about chaos creating the new world order. That's what it is. Crowley's Gnostic Mass prays for chaos. It wants chaos. Okay? Why? I think it's because of that 33rd degree Freemasonry, Ordo Ab Chao. They want chaos so that they can come through with the order because they know the nature of mankind. The Bavarian Illuminati, Adam Weishaupt and all his people, they wanted anarchy. They were going to free man from the, you know, that's supposedly the Illuminati influenced the French Revolution, which freed man from the aristocratic plan of the church and state telling man how to live. Seems pretty good. Democracy is good. It's in the American Constitution. Like, okay, I dig it. But from anarchy, they want it to go further. They want it to go into chaos. Because not like they, look, they don't care about us. Crowley said it in, I think, Liber Oz. He says, the slave shall serve. Because there is an aristocratic elite, and they do want to take advantage of us and control us. That's the end game. The reality is that with enough chaos, man will beg for order, all right? Because you need order. You do, on some levels. You don't need authoritarianism, but you need some rule of law. And this is where the Luciferian Global New World Order will come into play. Crowley's chaos, you know, the Gnostic Mass prays for the chaos. It's a reference to the abyss, which you achieve by going through Dayoth. Crowley wanted to open up the abyss and swallow up all of humanity and the social construct and rules that go along with it. And they keep putting chaos into our world to make this happen. Which takes me to my final point, Steve Bannon, who's intimately involved with all this, I believe. Just today it was announced that he's going to prison on July 1st. Isn't that something? Bannon, I believe, is an occultist. I don't know if it needs to be believed. It seems like that's a fact, but I'll say I believe. He's referred to Pepe the Frog as well. If you go to, there's a story on rawstory.com, it said Bannon was prepared to sick the alt-right on Paul Ryan if he tried to steal the GOP nomination from Trump. Green wrote, Pepe's gonna stomp their ass, Bannon said, referring to the racist frog. So Bannon knew the power of the memes. He knew the power of occult chaos magic. And the reason why is because if you read Professor Teitelbaum's book, War on Eternity, which I'll link to my interview with him that I did in 2020 in the show notes as well, you find out that Steve Bannon is into traditionalism. This is philosophers like Julius Evola, George Jurdeff, major occultist here, and René Guénon. And they believed in the man's natural pattern for cycles of time, with the Kali Yuga being the final destructive cycle that we're currently in. So they're trying to posture themselves to take over when this final cycle destroys the current order. They believe that a breakdown of the institutions, you know, the EU, the UN, the CDC, the World Health Organization, the US government, all that. They want to get rid of all of it. They want pure chaos, pure anarchy, like Crowley. Because they think that we've lost our way. They think through modernity and equal rights and technology, the world has become terrible. They keep presenting this image of like, we're so violent and we're so out of control and we're going to destroy the world and all this stuff, right? And, you know, Evola, Julius Evola was into occultism. And Steve Bannon was studying all these people. He studied Jurdeff. And the esotericism is, it, to them, is the celebration of this rejected knowledge that Western modernity put aside. And Bannon could just be using this to reject today's society. Because it is elitism. This traditionalism is an elitist idea. It's a very sort of authoritarian belief system, because they think that everything of modern democracy and equal rights is flawed. Our whole society is flawed, and we need to embrace these esoteric occult practices, which requires us to destroy the world as we know it and build a new one. So they wanted to use Donald Trump in that situation. So, in conclusion, they want chaos. From Crowley to Bannon, I don't know that Trump understands his role in this, but they enjoy this chaos. They love it. They love the fighting. They love the division. And the reason why is because they want to instill the New World Order. And this is their vision of the New World Order. I think there's competing gangs and competing visions of the New World Order. I'm going to guess none of them are good. So I think it behooves us to keep it together, you know? And look, I'm going to try to do my best too as well to try to stay peaceful and calm and cool and not fight with people and argue about politics, because that's what it does. It just divides us. And, you know, that's what they want. They want us to burn it all down. You see this, Alex Garland's got a movie, Civil War, that shows us what this looks like. I haven't seen it yet. It's on my list. But yeah, that's the short version of the symbolism of the occult behind the convictions and the sentencing date. Now, if you want more, I will link in the show notes. I've got several episodes talking about this over the years, going back to 2017, I think. I also have an index at IlluminatiWatcher.com of every episode I've ever done. That grows as I put new episodes out. You can just do a Control F search and look for Trump, look for Keck, look for Pepe, look for Bannon, whatever you want to look for. I've got tons of episodes on there, so check that out. And, oh, I almost forgot. See me in Las Vegas. Me, Jay Dyer, Jamie Hanshaw, we're all going to be there. I'm going to present to you how Stanley Kubrick in his final film, Eyes Wide Shut, was trying to show us how the Illuminati operate through symbolism. And it's going to be a banger. And then afterwards, we're going to do a little meet and greet. I want to meet you. I want to meet my listeners. Okay? So you can get tickets. I'll put a link in the show notes. I got lots of links in this show notes today. Links to eventbrite.com, where you can buy your ticket. There's some left. It's going to be Saturday, June 22nd in Las Vegas. Come hear us, see us, meet us. It's going to be great. So I got links in the show notes for the Eventbrite Las Vegas event. I'm going to have links for those shows that you can catch up on with Steve Bannon and Keck and all that. And if you want to sign up for $1, you can get on the supporter feed in the VIP section. See if you like it. Use promo code BADBOY, all lowers. Go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, hit the VIP tab up top of the menu, and scroll all the way down. You'll see what I'm talking about, okay? And I'll send you a little onboarding video. I'm here to help out, okay? And then stay tuned, because we're dropping this Diddy deep dive here real soon. Okay, thanks for listening. Till next time, stay positive.